there it is. We love the Portuguese version of the ESP song. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks joins us every Friday at 3. Elliot's call-in is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, you must be pretty...
Real quick.
Yeah.
Gotta admit, don't like the Portuguese song.
Yeah, well, I like singing with it, and I can't sing along with the Portuguese one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
The committee will take that into consideration for next week.
Committee.
If you forgot the Eagles went to Brazil, it's also quite the something to explain.
Yeah, yes. Why is that in Portuguese? Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Elliot, you must be thrilled to get a football game to watch and talk about
back.
Again.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sure the Eagles aren't too thrilled the Phillies lost. So
yes.
All eyes, all the angry eyes of the city are directly back onto them. So,
yeah.
You know, it's tough to call a week six game like a must-win game, but they have to more than just win it. I think Sunday is like a strictly style points game. Like, you can't win this one 22-21. You got to go out there, play well, win the game, because otherwise I think it's going to be a really ugly Monday for them.
So we'll get to that game in a second, but I need to ask you about the Phillies. So first of all, we've been talking about the potential of firing Rob Thompson. The idea here is that there is something missing from an accountability standpoint, which is the way I described it, that they let the players, you know, manage themselves and it didn't work,
yeah.
So they have to move on. What's your thought on the Phillies potentially moving on from Rob Thompson?
So I do think this team needs to make some type of major change before they start next year. And I think the tough thing with that is we can talk about trading Castellano, Schwarber, Turner, but you're just not going to get value for them back. Like, I think you in some ways make the team worse. So the best way to actually make some type of culture change there is probably by firing the manager. I don't think it's his fault completely. That being said, he has managed this team for 3 years, and they're still making the same mistakes they are. I would compare it a bit to Nick Sirianni, that we talk obviously a lot about his job security. I don't think Sirianni's the problem, but if they keep turning it over, if they keep playing well below 500 football, like, then ultimately you can only point the finger so many places. So I do think they should fire him, even though I don't believe he's the biggest problem.
And if you were to put the failure, I guess, of the season on any one person or any one aspect of the team, where would you put it?
So it's tough to say for the whole season because they did win the division. And I know that's not, you know, no one's here that now, but the regular season was a success.
And you're a big win the division guy. It's one of your ethos.
As I pointed out with the Sixers, making the playoffs year after year is no easy task.
There it is.
But if I had to pin the loss to the Mets on one player, I think it goes on Bryce. I mean, that series was lost when he swung at those three straight pitches in game three. Like, the main problem with this team is plate discipline. And he, in that instance, in one of the biggest moments, if not the biggest moment of the series, displayed the worst plate discipline I think any player did this series. So I think, you know, as a leader of the team, as someone that's supposed to set the standard, as someone that players are supposed to look to, he gets the blame.
He gets the blame?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he could have done more, but blame for losing the series? You got to know you're in the minority with that take, right?
Well, you could say that about a lot of things. But, like,
yeah.
Look, I think when you look at the main issue with the team, it's that they keep swinging at bad pitches, right? And in the playoffs, that's what gets them. They swing at bad pitches, and so ultimately they go on cold streaks. Bryce is the leader of the team. Like, I thought that they won game two because Bryce hit that home run, right? Then Castellanos did, and he started rallying. But if we're going to say Bryce energizes the team, we then also have to face the reality that what he does at the plate matters. And when you are up after two straight walks, and I think they were down 2-0 at that point or 1-0, and you not like striking out is fine. It's hard to hit a baseball. Swinging at three straight pitches from a pitcher that had just walked two straight people, like, that's an egregious at-bat. So the whole problem with this team, in my opinion, has to start at the top, and Bryce has to be better there.
Yeah, that is a terrible take, but that's not. If you're looking for a reason to put blame on Bryce, I guess you can find that to blame Bryce. I think in that moment you have a valid case to be made. But as far as why they lost the series, like, Bryce Harper is nowhere near the top of the reason why they lost this series.
But the reason they lost is because of the plate discipline, right? So
but he can't control everybody else and what they do at the plate.
But he does in positives way, right? There's so many times we talk after games and go, He made that play and everybody reacted off of it. He made that hustle play and it got the team going. He hit that home run and brought him back to life. And I agree with all that. But then if we're going to acknowledge what he does at the plate has an impact on the whole clubhouse, then when he struggles, that also has to be an impact. And when he struggles in the exact way the rest of the team is, that is very noteworthy and important to me.
Well, why didn't they come to play when he came to play in game four?
In game, well, look, in game four, I mean, I wouldn't say game play. What did he, how many runs did they score in that game? One run, and what did he have?
Well, but he led an inning off with a double with nobody out.
What are you talking about?
But I'm saying, like, let's not act like they had a fine game four. I mean, yes, you want to say they should have followed his lead in game four?
Yes.
Fine, but again, you're just acknowledging that they follow his lead.
Well,
No. What I'm pointing out is that when he does play well and they don't, you mean to tell me he's still at fault for them not hitting?
No, but I'm telling.
But that's what happened in game four.
But I'm not saying he's at fault for not hitting the baseball. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's at fault for like a batting average or not hitting enough home runs. I'm saying where he carries blame to me is the exact moment he did the exact thing this team has done for year over year. Like, if you're talking about firing Topper, right? Mm-hmm. Topper has not got them to get better plate discipline over the last year. I think you would all agree with that.
Sure.
So that's one way to get rid of, to try to fix the problem. But when your best player is doing the thing that all year the players said they were not going to do, I think that's impactful.
I think it is fair to say it's not that he struck out, it's how he struck out. I think you could say that's fair.
I'll go with that in game three. I just, because basketball is the only sort of, I don't even know if basketball can correlate. I'm just saying if Embiid were to average 35 points in a series and the other guys don't do their job, I can't blame Joel Embiid that they lost the series.
I guess the last thing I'll say on it is it's not about like the stats. It's about
No. It is the stats when it matters when we talk about results because an individual player can only control what he can control.
Right, but the message to be better at the plate doesn't hold the strength it does in my opinion.
He's not in charge of giving the message to the ball club.
But we know he dictates what the team does.
Listen. You know I love you. Stop looking for reasons to want to blame Bryce.
Yeah, I would never do something like
that. One single player, but
well, it sounds like you just said you blame Bryce as the reason why they lost the series. I just can't get with that.
Yes, just like when the Sixers lose, we say when Joel's like moping up and down the court, that has a bad impact.
Yeah, so if Bryce was moping and didn't run out the ball or something like to that effect, then I would totally agree with you. I just didn't see any. I don't like when he strikes out either, but it's part of the game. Guys strike out.
Breaking out. It's about how it happened. Three straight pitches in that spot. Like, again, I'm not saying he should have hit a home run there. I'm saying.
Are you giving Elliot the music?
The guy had nearly a 1.3. He had a 1.3. What is it? OPS. 1300 OPS. Man, I get it. We're all disappointed, but let's not just for the sake of it to say Bryce was the reason why they lost, just to blame it on Bryce Harper.
I don't want to blame it.
All right,
He was at Sabrina Carpenter in game three anyway, so who cares?
Were you at Sabrina Carpenter during game three?
Hold on. No, the game was over by the time it
got there. Okay, all right. Jack had that one in the
16-year-old.
Yep. He's like Jack was like a video game that had one bomb that'll blow up everybody on the screen, and he's just holding it for the right time.
Well, whenever Jack texts me and asks where I'm at, I know it will be on the show.
So, Elliot, do you have any, and this could go for Insider of the Year points, do you have any further explanation on what happened with Devin White? And the only reason I'm asking it now specifically is with N'Kobe Dean, and I know he said he's going to play, but he was limited today in practice. Do you have any further, you know, insight as to how all of that happened?
So I do think he was released this week because they're going to need a roster spot. Sidney Brown is coming back up off the IR. I think there's a good chance he'll be active on Sunday against the Browns. So you have to pick who are you going to release off the roster. And while Devin White has a big name for sure, and they obviously gave him a decent check, a backup linebacker that doesn't play special teams on the 53-man roster just doesn't hold a lot of value. So in terms of why he was released now, I think that's probably, you know, roster construction is part of it. In terms of why it didn't work out here, I just don't think Vic Fangio thought he could play. I think it's flat out. Like, he played him all offseason, gave him the first team reps, and then right before the season, he benched him. And if your coordinator is not going to play him and he's not going to play on special teams, he just doesn't hold much value. So I think that's what happened.
You think it's weird that he was never even active, though?
Yeah, but again, if the coordinator, so I think there's a couple of things. One, if the coordinator is not going to play you, then you know, there's no point in being active. I don't think Vic Fangio trusted or liked Devin White.
Even if Dean gets hurt mid-game, he's putting in Trotter, you think, even if
correct.
They're both active.
Trotter's a backup, or Oren Burks. Yeah, I just think Vic Fangio was not a Devin White fan in terms of what he thought he could do in his defense. And so if you're not going to dress and you're not going to play special teams, then you don't really have a roster spot. Now, it is a major miss by the Eagles. You know, I think we're all just saying, well, Vic said he can't play, so that's that. Nakobe has not been that great. Zach Bond has been pretty up and down. So they don't have, like, a player at the linebacker position that's playing outstanding right now where I can sit here and go, okay, they didn't need Devin White. Like, maybe if Trotter goes in, if there's an injury and plays outstanding, then you go, all right, they evaluated that correctly. But none of the linebackers are playing well enough right now where you can just gloss over the fact the guy they signed to be their starting linebacker never played a snap for him.
And his personality doesn't fit.
His personality
does not fit the locker room. He's not a leader. He's not an impactful player when it comes to helping other players. He's a detriment to be on the roster. That's why they moved on from him. That's why they ate nearly $4 million. He doesn't want to play special teams. The very idea of having a backup linebacker who doesn't play special teams, I don't even know if that exists in the NFL.
Right.
That's what backup linebackers do. They play special teams. So he felt that was beneath him. That's a terrible message to send to other players on the team.
And the retweet.
He had to go. And that was the final straw right there, the retweet.
I've never seen a guy try to get cut more than Devin White did in that moment. Elliot, so the Eagles play a team that is falling apart on Sunday. The Cleveland Browns have a guy who is making $250 million or $300 million, whatever it is, but he's playing like the worst quarterback in the NFL. The Eagles are 9.5-point favorites, 10 points in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the possibility is that they go in and just really handle the Browns like you want them to handle them?
I would say slim. I just don't think this team is playing well enough right now that you could trust them to blow out any team. I think they'll win the game. I think they are better than the Cleveland Browns. But when they're not playing well, I mean, you go back and watch that Buccaneers game. I know there's no A.J., Devontae, and Lane, and that certainly matters. Those are arguably the three most important players on the team. But guys all over the field are missing blocks. There's guys where you look at it and they're running the wrong route or route where they're like they're in the same place on the field. Jalen has accuracy issues. Jalen has turnover issues. So I think they are better than the Browns. I think it's a game that they should win. But if you're playing poorly, it kind of doesn't matter who you play in a way. Like their execution right now is just not clicking on all cylinders. And I think coming out of the bye, you could see some rust. So I don't expect them to dominate this game. Not because the Browns are close to them, but just because I don't think the Eagles are playing at a high level right now. And that will impact their ability to blow a team out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I see a blowout here either. I mean, I would take the Browns plus 10. So I'm not surprised at that. And my score later will indicate that I don't expect a 10-point win, although I do expect a win.
I would say, this is a critically important stretch coming up. They have four games, and I think the Bengals are obviously better than their record. I mean, they are what they are, but
mm-hmm. They could score 50 points against the Eagles.
Especially against this Eagles defense,
Yeah, no, I think the Bengals, going to Cincinnati is a tough game. But of the next four games, I think the combined record of those teams is 5-15.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% healthy. Everyone's ready to go. You just had the bye week. You have got to go 3-1 over this next stretch, and you have to beat the Browns. If they go 2-2, I think that's a real red flag about where this team is at for the rest of the season. And at that point, I wonder if Jeffrey Lurie starts to look and go, you know what, like we should be not only beating these teams, we should be beating them by more. So I think this next stretch for Sirianni and the team is critically important.
A lot of football left to play. Relax. Defensive-wise, what should we expect from Cooper come Sunday?
So it's a tough matchup for Cooper. Obviously, the Browns offense is struggling, in my opinion, because they have a terrible offensive line. And then as a result, and in addition to, the quarterback is terrible. But they do have fairly decent receivers. They have Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, and they move all of them inside to the slot. So, you know, Cooper, I think what he brings right now is he was a very good tackler in college. We'll see if that translates to the NFL. But I think he'll help in the running game. I think he, you know, in the box will be an upgrade over Avonte Maddox. But in coverage, like, him versus Amari Cooper is not a great matchup for his first NFL start. Jerry Jeudy hasn't reached his potential, but he is a very good quick route runner. And then Elijah Moore obviously has speed. So I think just the matchups are tough for him on Sunday. The good news is the quarterback's bad, which will help, but just the coverage is going to be difficult.
Well, listen. This ain't the damn Big Ten. Like, he's not going up against Big Ten wide receivers. So this is the NFL. They saw fit to draft him in the second round. He's going to get matched up against wide receivers. What do you think he's going to be playing against, fourth-string wide receivers? He's got to go up against some good guys. I got a guy playing in Toledo that's out there going up against receivers every week. Mike Evans, it don't matter who it is. Drake London, he's out there. Cooper DeJean was a first-round talent that fell to the second round. I don't want to hear about a tough matchup with Elijah Moore. You kidding me, Jerry Jeudy, who stinks? Let's go, Cooper.
Yeah, look, I agree that, you know, this is, look, it's the worst offense in the NFL. They're at the bottom of most every single category besides red zone offense, ironically enough. So if you want to, like, paint away where this team struggles on Sunday, it's that the Eagles do the bend, don't break defense, where they're happy to let you in the red zone, and then they have a top 10 red zone defense. The Browns have been good in the red zone in the limited time they've gotten there. So that is one concern if you wanted to try to paint a picture of how this is close, is once the Browns get inside the 20, they've done a decent job.
This game is close one way, is if our quarterback keeps turning the ball over.
And that would be – so I agree with you. And while Jalen has been better than Deshaun Watson this year, if you just looked at their numbers, it's not that different. Deshaun Watson's thrown for more touchdowns. Deshaun Watson has fewer turnovers. What's really separated the two is just in the pocket, Deshaun Watson has been not as accurate as Jalen has. But, yeah, I agree with you. And that is the one concern about the Browns as well, is Myles Garrett obviously is a tough matchup.
Lord.
But they mm-hmm. blitz a ton. They're seventh in the league in blitzing. They have one of the best pressure rates for a defensive line because of that blitzing. So, you know, I think the Eagles have been better against the blitz this year, but that would be one concern.
There he is, Elliot Shore Parks. If you didn't hear enough of him here, you can hear him every day.
He's back.
By subscribing to the Go Birds podcast, and get it wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every morning. Get 15, 20, 25 minutes of Elliot every day. It's perfect. And people are dying for it.
Exactly right. I appreciate it.
There he is.
We get a 1 p.m. pregame show. I'm excited for it.
How about that?
There it is.
I know he'll be dressed to a T Sunday. Well, October.
I like to wear the linen suit every single game.
Yeah. There he is. Elliot, who acts like he lives in Miami.
Yeah, exactly right.
Elliot Shore Parks. We love Elliot. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Twitter question, do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson? 69% say no, 31% say yes. 215-592-9494. Foxhole guy Bella, you're on WIP. What's up, Bella?
I don't know where to start. The longer you leave me on hold, the more I write down that I got to say.
Okay. It's all yours.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
He's got to go. I mean, Rob Thompson's a nice guy. I think he's probably a wonderful parent. He's a nice guy. I trust him. He always trusts him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's always like, these are not children. These are billionaires who, first of all, it's hard enough that when the people that you're trying to lead make 10 times more than you do, and they're way more important than you are, you know, it must be like herding cats. But the point is, you can't be a nice guy with these people. You can't have one of your guys, after everything's all over, saying, well, I thought it would be like turning a light on once we got to the playoffs. And another guy saying, well, I'm not going to change who I am. And Rob himself said, well, you know, this can be fixed. It's when? It's the season is over. It's too late to fix anything. He's a nice guy, but what did Leo DeRocher say? Do you guys know?
No, what did you say?
Do you know who he is?
Yes. Nope.
Don't have a clue. Well, one of us does, Spike.
Go ahead, Bella.
He said nice guys finished last.
Oh,
there
okay.
were eight teams
he
in the league.
That.
He said the nice guys were all over there in seventh place. We're not trying to win a popularity contest. And I'm just, I am like off the charts. I mean, he said to us that Sanchez would be available if Ranger, you know, Ranger did okay. Got into trouble, got out of trouble. Where was Sanchez? What happened to Sanchez? He was available. Why didn't he put him in? Who puts in Hoffman in the middle of a game like that? He's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He has no control over these people. And I understand, you know, they're, when you make a lot of money and you're famous and people adore you, you act a certain way. But they got to know Trey Turner and Alec Boehm. They were all stars because people like me voted them in 10 times a day, every day.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree with you. I think we all, I think anyone who wants him fired, it's hard to say, well, I don't think he's ever good at his job or this
no,
is
a nice guy.
A nice guy.
And had success.
Yes.
Like Sirianni, same thing.
Yeah.
He went to playoffs 3 years in a row, but we never get over that finish line. We never get over the finish line. And I think he has them in the wrong headspace.
I think we agree. I think especially because it's so hard to change everything else. And if you agree that there's talent there, which we all agree that there is, mm-hmm. you know, coaches sometimes, not that he's the same thing, but I think Brett Brown's a good coach. Brett Brown was was the first Sixers coach to win 50 games in consecutive seasons in forever. It was amazing that he survived as long as he did. But there was at a point, and look, it didn't work with Doc Rivers either, but there was a
but
point.
It was time to,
the point was, it was time for Andy Reid at a certain point.
Yeah,
you know, so, and he's a great coach. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Analytics. They don't even coach anymore.
Yeah.
Like they look at, you know, do this at that and do this when this happens and do this. And I could do that. You and me together, Spike, we should go, you know, read the analytics.
Well,
but we need somebody to get these guys in the right place. Didn't we all know that if he benched Alec Boehm, he would never get over it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. Yeah, the Alec Boehm thing's a tough one. And by the way, Bella, I endorse you as Philly's manager. I don't think I like this job. I don't want to do both, you know. So
no.
But if you want to do it, I'm all
good.
In.
I'm good. Okay.
All right, see? Bella. Appreciate you.
All right, guys.
All right. Bella the foxhole guy. Bella always bringing it. So
foxhole gal?
Nah, it's always foxhole guy, I think. Jack, what do you think?
I think it's always guy.
Yeah. I think it's always foxhole guy.
Unless she wants to be a foxhole gal. Then we'll
but she said to us, I want to be a foxhole guy. What do you think? You're thinking it over.
I would go foxhole gal.
All right.
That's just me.
Okay. Well,
we can make multiple shirts.
But if she wants to be a foxhole guy.
That's what she said.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
like we tried to explain to Devin one time, because Devin was talking about how she's, I don't know, something about men. And she's like, well, can I say that if I'm a woman? I was like, well, men's men.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to be a steakman or a, you know, she did.
Woman is in men.
Is in men. Men is in woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, woman.
It's called women.
I know.
With an A is woman.
Yeah. Woman, yeah.
Yeah, men. But it's still men.
Yeah, it's like men.
Yeah.
It's like steakman.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying.
Mike.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying women. That's plural.
No, I'm just saying like.
Steaksman.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that can count for a man or a woman because it's like.
But even when you say that, you're saying it with a M-A-N.
Yes.
But it sounds like M-E-N.
Sure.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, but woman with an A still is men.
It's man.
But you don't say woman. You say
you do
woman.
Say woman.
Woman. Mun. Not men. Not woman.
215.
How do you? This is so dumb.
Is Batman a superhero?
Realize how dumb we sound right now.
This is when Bella said we sound like a bunch of guys at a what'd she say at a bar mitzvah that snuck alcohol in and can't handle the alcohol.
Right.
This is the moment she's talking
on,
about.
We get caught up on things. Yeah. I apologize to the listening audience.
This is actually the argument of three guys that are high, not drunk. This is the. But it's an A.
That's an A.
It's men.
I like to do the show blind. Well, that's the whole, is that we had the despite, in spite of. We had
that was another
that
one. That was another one.
Took 8 minutes off everyone's lives.
We're giving them entertainment. All right. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Ron Jaworski. We will continue to discuss the Rob Thompson thing. Do you think he should be fired? 215-592-9494. And unfortunately, I think, like it or not, we're going to have a game day forecast next with Tornado Shapiro.
No.
Yeah, he calls at 3:30 every Friday.
All right.
That's what I think is good. We didn't even have a football game last week he called. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.